I'm John Batchelor. Welcome to the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio. It's a pleasure to welcome my longtime guest and good friend, Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness. Thaddeus has been writing articles these last weeks that helped me a deal to understand the unusual conduct of the American media and the American political conversation in Washington, using words that are associated with allegations, accusations, denunciations, sometimes called the cancel culture, sometimes speaking of a systemic racism. All this, Thaddeus has helped me in his articles understand as an updating of something that worked very well once upon a time in the 20th century. Thaddeus, a very good evening to you. I read from your most recent article at American Greatness. You were quoting from 1966, The People's Daily. This is about Mao Zedong's Cultural Revolution. I'm going to read a couple of sentences and ask you to translate for us into the 21st century glossary. So it begins, the proletarian cultural revolution is aimed not only at demolishing all the old ideology and culture and all the old customs and habits which, fostered by the exploiting classes, have poisoned the minds of the people for thousands of years, but also at creating and fostering among the masses an entirely new ideology and culture, an entirely new customs and habits, those of the proletariat. Will you translate that for us, Thaddeus, for how we hear similar thoughts here in the 21st century in America? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. So what you would do is just simply understand that they've substituted for class struggle the whole racial aspect of what the new left is talking about these days. So let's translate it. Quote, the woke revolution is aimed not only at demolishing systemic racism and implicit biases, which, fostered by the white supremacists, have poisoned the minds of people since 1916, but also at creating and fostering among the masses an entirely new anti-racism and equity, those of the anti-racists. So you can see they've just plagiarized the Cultural Revolution and tried to apply it to today's America.
This proletarian Cultural Revolution, it failed in the 20th century, and hence we have the giant China, which doesn't resemble anything like class struggle. This is a road to what you just have to say it is a corporatism, or are there other words for it in China? So is this formula built-in failure? In other words, by using it, have they set up the road to their own shortfall?
Well, absolutely. And when you look at it, John, it's one of the idiosyncrasies of the left is that no matter how often their policies fail and their ideology brings about incredible cost of human lives and livelihoods, they can always say, next time it'll be different. Next time we'll get it right. No, that wasn't real communism under Stalin. Khrushchev will fix it. Oh, Deng Xiaoping actually is improving upon Mao. It's all the same. So when you look at what they've done, by trying to use race instead of class struggle to try to gain power in the United States, what they're doing is laying the seeds not only for their own failure, but for the failure of the United States. Now, it will not come to that. I think Americans recognize the fact that the corporations and the left has gone far too far in limiting their rights and infringing upon them. When you look at polls, John, the American people right now realize they live in a time of the greatest expansion and empowerment of humans' ability to interact and message and to communicate. Yet at the very time, they're afraid to issue statements in public for fear of retribution. So they're figuring out who's causing the retribution, who is the impetus behind the cancel culture. They don't like it, and they're going to reject it.
I go to a sentence again from 1966, The People's Daily. This is by an op-ed by Chen Boda. Sweep Away All Monsters and Demons was the title about the Cultural Revolution. This sentence, I think it describes the cancel culture you just referenced. This great task of transforming customs and habits is without any precedent in human history. As for all the heritage, customs, and habits of the feudal and bourgeois classes, the proletarian world outlook must be used to subject them to thoroughgoing criticism. It takes time to clear away the evil habits of the old society from among the people. Is that cancel culture 1966, Thaddeus?
Oh, yes, and you can translate it into this great task of transforming systemic racism and implicit biases is without any precedent in human history. As for all the systemic racism and implicit biases of white supremacists and people of color who think white, the anti-racist world outlook must be used to subject them to thoroughgoing cancellations. It's right. It tracks identically. In fact, I cannot believe that our universities and everybody else has rewarded these plagiarists who simply adopted the rhetoric of communism and tried to apply it to people and corporations and academic the halls of academia across the country. It's insane.
Mao Zedong was successful at this, and you point to a speech that he made February 27th, 1957, which is wintertime, a year after the secret speech in Moscow, the so-called secret speech in which Khrushchev denounced Stalinist purges. Mao Zedong speech is strikingly up to date. I mean, this speech would do very well in America today. He writes, "The contradictions between ourselves and the enemy are antagonistic contradictions. Within the ranks of the people, the contradictions among the working people are non-antagonistic, while those between the exploited and the exploiting classes have a non-antagonistic as well as antagonistic aspect. There have always been contradictions among the people, but they are different in content in each period of the revolution and in the period of building socialism." He's talking about people who don't follow the class struggle line. They're living in contradictions that are antagonistic and non-antagonistic. I think he's rationalizing, but what we know is behind it is that people resist it. China resisted, and it led to famine and then genuine purges in the Cultural Revolution. Is that the resistance you're pointing to now? People are trying to figure out how to resist.
Well, it's what the Democratic Party is doing now, is try to thread the needle between de-Stalinization and Stalin, who he admired greatly. When he did this, it was supposed to be to open up a new era of discussion within the communist state. And he was trying to assuage people with this speech that they would not go too far, that the party wouldn't wither away. Actually, what he wound up doing a year later is he wound up clamping down. Everybody got in prison, including shooting middle school students who went on strike for a better China. That's a communist country. But what he talks about specifically, which is fascinating, is that the left has even plagiarized the cancel culture from the communists. Because here's what Mao said in that very speech. Quote, "What should our policy be towards non-Marxist ideas? As far as unmistakable counter-revolutionaries and saboteurs of the socialist cause are concerned, the matter is easy. We simply deprive them of their freedom of speech." Is there any better definition of cancel culture today by the Democratic Party?
The speech contains some choice lines, Thaddeus, and thank you for guiding me to it. "Our state is a people's democratic dictatorship, led by the working class and based on the worker-peasant alliance." In other words, it's anything he says it is. That's what he's describing, a state that is part science fiction, part imagination, and part whatever Mao and his leadership is going to declare the next day to be the rule of the state. Now, that's what's odd about the present circumstances. I'm not sure who's in charge, who's defining this. I see a lot of negatives pulling down statues, but I don't know where Mao is. I don't know where the People's Democratic Dictatorship led by the working class. Where is that group?
Well, it's coming out of the culture. It's coming out of the newsrooms. It's coming out of academia, and it's winding up in the human resources centers of major corporations. It goes into it because, again, Mike, it is not critical race theory. Look at where it comes from. It is communist race theory by their own rhetoric and their own ideology. That's what it is, and it's been transplanted into the United States. So when we're looking at all this, you have to understand that when Joe Biden tells us he's going to let us hang out with our relatives on the 4th of July, you see the problem here. When the frog whistle starts of our democracy or unity, what they're really talking about and translated into democratic centralism. They will decide what is appropriate and what is not. And this is why we have a constitution, and this is why they are continuing to infringe upon it, and they want it swept away. Our rights are supposed to be guaranteed by the government. They are not granted by the government. They come from God, not from the hand of man, according to John F. Kennedy and the founders. So when you look at this, what they're trying to do is usurp all the power of the sovereign people, place it into a centralized repository, end free speech, so that there can be no dissent to this usurpation. It will be rejected.
The Mao speech of February 1957 ends this way, as Thaddeus just referenced. To strengthen our solidarity with the Soviet Union, to strengthen our solidarity with all the socialist countries, this is our fundamental policy. This is where our basic interests lie. Then there are the Asian and African countries and all the peace-loving countries and peoples. We must strengthen and develop our solidarity with them. United with these two forces, we shall not stand alone. As for the imperialist countries, we should unite with their people and strive to coexist peacefully with those countries, do business with them, and prevent a possible war. But under no circumstances should we harbor any unrealistic notions about them. I'm speaking with Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness. We're headed to the Soviet Union, or the Sovietization of the American media reporting here in the 21st century. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom.
I go to school with your children.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
You see me around the neighborhood, and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every five children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger.
This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we can grow up to be whatever we want.
I want to grow up to be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry.
There's enough food in this country to feed everybody.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger.
Together, we are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it. You don't do anything but think about it.
What are we going to do if we lose the house? Where are we going to go?
At work.
I can't let anybody find out. I'm so embarrassed.
At dinner.
How can I tell the kids? It's going to wreck their lives.
And at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. What's going to happen to us?
It's time to stop thinking. It's time to start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not. We've helped over a million homeowners, and we want to help you. And now there are more ways to help. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.